The scripture reading is Numbers chapter 16, beginning with verse 41. But on the next day, all the congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron, saying, "You are the ones who have caused the death of the Lord's people." It came about, however, when the congregation had assembled against Moses and Aaron, that they turned toward the tent of meeting, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. Then Moses and Aaron came to the front of the tent of meeting, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Get away from among this congregation, that I may consume them instantly." Then they fell on their faces. Moses said to Aaron, "Take your censer and put it in fire from the altar, and lay incense on it. Then bring it quickly to the congregation and make atonement for them. For wrath has gone forth from the Lord, the plague has begun." Then Aaron took it as Moses had spoken, and ran into the midst of the assembly. For behold, the plague had begun among the people. So he put on the incense and made atonement for the people. He took his stand between the dead and the living, so that the plague was checked. But those who died by the plague were 14,700, besides those who died on account of Korah. Then Aaron returned to Moses at the doorway of the tent of meeting, for the plague had been checked.
So the key phrase out of that scripture reading is that Aaron stood between the living and the dead. This week's readings deal with the 40 years of wilderness wandering, but you might be surprised how few stories really deal with that time period. I think most people in their mind, they think that all of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy tell you about the 40 years of wandering, and the truth is, we've got about five chapters here that tell us about those 40 years. Not a lot of stories from that time period in the scriptures. We know it happened. We know why it happened. We saw that last week, because they refused to enter the land. They trusted the report of the 10 bad spies instead of listening to the two good spies. And so God says, fine, none of you are getting in. This whole generation is going to walk the desert. Once they pass, I'll let your children go in. Well, that sets up a problem. And we're going to look at those problems today. The people had seen the land, at least through the eyes of the spy. But the people wouldn't follow God's leading. And so they said, no, we're not going to go. Well, of course, God gets upset about this. We talked about that last week. But our scripture reading is the follow-on story from that. At the beginning of chapter 16, you've got three Levites. And they rise up and they want to rebel. And so they confront Moses and Aaron. Who do you think you are? Now, keep in mind, they're not absent of witness. They have seen that Moses is getting words directly from God. They have seen that Moses can say this or that or the other, and it happens just that way. But what they haven't done is they haven't listened. They haven't listened about going into the promised land. They haven't listened about the quail or the manna. Yeah, it's a little early in the morning for preachers too. They're not listening to God, and so they look at Moses and say, who do you think you are? We're Israelites. All of us are God's holy people. You've got no business telling us what to do. Which would be fine, except for God has said otherwise. So here's the picture. One day, they decide not to go in with the land, and God punishes them. And a few days later, three Levites. These are family members of Moses. Not direct family members, but cousins, so to speak. They confront Moses and Aaron, and they say, "We're not following you anymore. We're gonna go start our own church." Now, this is the part of Numbers that scares us a little bit, because this is the part of Numbers where God is having no foolishness. He's tolerated some of their poor behavior up until this point, but now God is like, "Oh, we are not having that." And so God says, "Tell them to show up at the tent tomorrow, and we're going to decide who the people are going to listen to, if it's you or if it's them." Well, if you did the scripture reading this past week, it's clearly Moses and Aaron. Right? The rebels are swallowed by the ground, some of them. Some of them are burned with fire from heaven. A few hundred of them die. And that's where our scripture reading picks up today in verse 41 of number 16. The next day. So the day before, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram and their rebellion all die. The ground swallows them alive and the fire burns them alive. Because God is having no more of this rebellion. And the very next day, the people are still complaining about Moses' leadership. So a lot of people, when they want to look at this, they want to look at this like, well, this is unfair because they didn't know any better. God hadn't been talking to them. Buddy, I don't know about you, but if today I see a few hundred people die because they didn't listen, I sure am not going to question God tomorrow. I probably could remember it for longer than 24 hours. In the case that we saw today, and in the case of Korah's rebellion, and in all the cases where God says, "Step aside, Moses, I'm going to punish these guys," Moses prays and intercedes for the people. Moses pleads for the people because he cares. And here's the problem for the people. The smoke never clears. Man, you can see that all over our culture. Somebody doesn't get what they want, they do not ever let go of that. The powder is still burning for them 100 years later. I didn't get what I thought I should get. So Aaron has to stand between the living and the dead in number 16. But now I want you to jump a few chapters later. We're just going to skim over a few of these most important stories in our scripture readings from this past week. And so we're going to jump from chapter 16 to chapter 21. And if you want to look at Numbers chapter 21, let's read verses 4 through 9 together. So they traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Dead Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient as they walked. All right. I have to set this one up a little bit. So we are potentially 40 years later than the story we just saw. Potentially. 38 years, 35 years, somewhere in there. Korah's rebellion happens at the beginning of the 40 years wandering, And now in chapter 21, we're near the end of it. And if you don't know that, then these stories don't make sense to you. But here's the thing. We're still remembering stuff that could have happened over 40 years ago. Let's just walk back a little bit and think about this. Who started the sin problem in Israel? Well, it was Aaron himself when he fashioned the golden calf. And we talked a couple of weeks ago about how his sin led to the sin of his sons, Nadab and Abihu. We talked about how sad that was, that a man's momentary mistake led to the downfall of his own children. But now that same spirit of rebellion has spread to the entire nation. Well, if Aaron can get away with it, I can get away with it. So when the spies said, let's go do it, the people listened to the 10 who said, no way. And they didn't go. And God punished them. And then Korah led his rebellion a few days after that. Where do you get off punishing us and making us listen to you? We're going to form our own kingdom. We're not listening to you anymore, and God's not having any of that. And the very next day, the people rise up and try to rebel against Moses all over again. And Aaron has to stand between the living and the dead. And then somewhere over the next 40 years, we have Numbers 21. But the people grew impatient as they walked. They spoke against God and against Moses, and they said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? Now, in case you're not keeping track, this is the sixth time they've said that since they've left the country. We have no bread. We have no water. And we detest the miserable food we do have. Okay, I get it. I get it a little bit if you actually technically have no water. I mean, if you're literally dying of thirst, I get the complaint. Or if you really truly have nothing to eat and you're dying of hunger, I might would understand the complaint. But let's be clear about a few things. They've not lacked for anything. They just haven't gotten what they wanted. They had to eat Little Caesar's pizza. They didn't want that. But at this point, they're only complaining because they have to take a detour around Edom. Because God says you can't make Edom let you pass. You can't fight Edom. And Edom says you're not coming through. And so God takes them around the mountain and around the country. They've got to take a detour. They've been walking for years now, but this little 2-mile detour is going to bust them. They just can't help themselves. But that's the irony here. They can't help themselves because they're too busy trying to help themselves. We want it our way, Lord. Hey, I really know what's best for you. We don't care. We want it our way. Look, would you just settle down and try to listen to Moses? No, we're not going to do it your way anymore, Father. Okay, fair enough. Let's see, I've tried burning you up. I've tried swallowing you whole. I've tried this plague and that plague and the other plague. What have I got left? Snakes. I'll send in some snakes. And so that's what God does. And whereas the sin started fairly small, now the entire nation is in full-on rebellion to God. And they are bent on disaster, all because they are focused on the problem. They ignore the fact that God has given them a perfectly viable solution. They choose instead to focus on the problem. Here's the interesting thing. They've already been blessed with victory after victory. They've won a few battles at this point. But because they have to take a detour, they're going to complain. We're not starving to death. We're not dying of thirst. We are just stuck at a red light. Okay, being a little hard on the Israelites here, but I'm being fair with the story. So if you didn't read it, don't get nervous. Go back and read it before you start thinking I'm not being fair with the story. Okay? But I want to back off a little bit. I want to point out the better side of this for just a second. A, even though God is punishing them, He's not leaving them. We'll come back to that thought in a minute. But B, I think it's about time that the people of God learn this truth, that focusing on failure will not bring about God's amen. If you want to find a problem, I guarantee you can find one. And if you want to harp on it, I guarantee you can do that. God will let you find it. In fact, He'll help you find it. And God will let you focus on it. And then He'll punish you. But again, let's look at the better side of that. Despite a hardship or a difficulty or a problem, A, God's offering a solution. He always offers a solution. And B, all you've got to do is follow Him. We have seen story after story after story of people blaming God. And so here's the interesting thing. Some folks get to this point in Numbers and they want to blame God because He's too harsh. Or they want to blame God because of this. Or they want to blame God because of that. And we're just repeating the same mistake these Israelites have made. And what we should do is just keep right on stepping with God. And we should wade through the water. Because some are going to be dressed in red because they won't stop complaining. Some are going to be dressed in white because they're the children of God. And some are going to make it to the other side. And it's pretty easy to see out of those first two groups which ones are going to make it to the other side. We'd have to be honest and realize the human tendency is still the same. If we don't get something we want the way we want it, our first default response is to try and take over and run the show so we can get what we want. We don't like what you're doing. We're going to take over and run it our own way. That's at the basic element of all of these stories that we're going to read this past week in Numbers. No God, we're going to do it our own way, thank you. And I think God is asking, how well did that work for them? At any rate, the snakes come, you know the story, Moses puts up the snake, blah, 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 blah. Let's move on. All right. Who's this feller? Well, it is a donkey. Or a monkey, donkey. I guess you know that joke, right? All right. Where does it fit into the story? All right. Balaam's talking donkey. You should be fascinated that a donkey can talk. But if that's what you're fascinated about, only you have missed the point of the story. Because the talking donkey is not the point. The listening donkey is the point. The donkey knows what God wants him to do and not do, and the donkey is trying to do what God says do. It is the prophet who is not doing what God says to do. It's not that the donkey talks, it's that the donkey listens. That's the point of the story. Because in contrast to all of the children of Israel except for Moses, listening has not been a great skill. And this donkey comes along and says, oh, no, 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 I'm not supposed to go that way. Now, before you get too excited, I've known a few listening donkeys. We got a few listening donkeys right here. I'll volunteer to head up the whole gaggle of them donkeys. I know I can be a little bit of a donkey every once in a while. I'm not trying to be dishonest. Just be honest that we got one or two others besides me. But if you're going to call me a donkey, I'm not going to feel too bad because he's the only smart one in the whole book. But it's not just the children of Israel at this point, is it? Balaam himself is not listening to God. Balak is not listening to God. And you could find plenty of other people in the book of Numbers who are not listening to God. But they don't get the press. It's pointed out that they're not listening. But the press is, I expect Balaam not to listen to me. I expect Balak not to listen to me. But my own children? The reason these stories are in here is to show that Israel was no better than the nations they are being sent in to replace. And it is a slight piece of comedy that the only thing that listens to God in the whole book is a donkey. It's meant to be funny. So I'm glad Terry mentioned Romans class this morning because here's the overlap. And again, I mean, we are being so blatantly upfront about this. Everything we design is designed to have overlap. So whatever sermon we're preaching, it's designed to pair up with two or three of our classes. And whatever class we're teaching, it's designed to pair up with the other classes and with the sermon. You say, well, that's why people don't come. They just already heard it once. They don't need to hear it four times. Okay, fair enough. We'll see who wins that story. But you're missing a huge chunk of the story if you come one out of four times. That's just the bottom line on that. You can keep doing it if you want to. But then when you tell me I can't understand what you're saying, it's probably because you didn't hear 75% of it. All right. Neither here nor there. The donkey is about listening. The stories are about how much are you willing to suffer to do things God's way, which is what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 8 that we should do. Suffering is part of what God gives us so that we might know Him better. We look at these stories and we think suffering is what God gives to people who don't listen. Well, look, friend, that's true. I'm not trying to deny that. But Moses is listening. Anybody want to take a guess on how much he suffered? The donkey is listening. and yet suffered? The difference isn't the suffering. The difference is the purpose of the suffering. Normally, when we look at these passages, we rightly highlight something I have said this morning, that God doesn't want the rebellion, the complaining, the disbelief. Granted, God does not like complaining and disbelief and rebellion. And those things all have consequences. But the point is not that God doesn't like rebellion, complaining. The point is that even in the midst of that, He has someone stand between the living and the dead. The point is that even dumb donkeys will get the message if they choose to hear it. And even in the midst of their rebellion, God is not only protecting them from their enemies, He is allowing them to win battles over their enemies. So God continues to deliver them. And whatever consequences they do face, God's abandonment is not one of them. Well, Phil, if you tell people that, they'll just complain. I'm sorry. I wish I had a different way to end the story, but the story is the story. And the truth is, God's going to stick with you even when you don't deserve it. And that's what's being highlighted in these stories. It's not how harsh God is. It's how forgiving He is. Despite their sin, God keeps His word. And He takes them to the doorstep of Canaan. And He does this largely because He keeps appointing people to stand between the living and the dead, and whether it's Moses or Aaron or that donkey, people keep saying, okay, I'll do your job. I'll do what you want me to do. And so constantly, despite all of the disbelief and grumbling and rebellion, somebody's listening. Because they know God's worth it. Man, I can see this just fine. I don't know. This might be kind of like David's song slides. So all the way on the left there's a preacher. And he's got three members of his congregation, and they're all frustrated because they're having to read the book of Numbers. And so the first guy, why study the book of Numbers? And the lady says, 36 chapters of self-centered people who whined every time they didn't get their way. And the last guy says, give us something relevant. All right, I'm not trying to be secretive here. If you don't get it, let me just spell it out super quickly for you. I couldn't wait to get to this point. Because we got too much grumbling going on around here, and I wish it would stop. I've tried to be nice about it, pointed out gently, but today I don't have to be nice. I can just flat out confront it and be fair with the story. Stop the grumbling. If you don't stop it, at least step aside. Because I don't want to get burned with whatever's about to come your way. Or, I could stand between the living and the dead. And since you're all still alive, you got a shot. And I could say, hey, let's rethink this. Can we at least try this whole listening to God thing? Can we at least try doing it His way? How about we at least try it? There is no way to soften up these stories, but I think that's partially the point. But these things were written for our encouragement, which means, A, encouragement means sometimes you got to hear bad news. But B, there's another part of the story that we often miss, and I've already said it once, let me say it again. God loves these people. Despite the fact that they're a headache, despite the fact that they're grumbling and disobedient, despite the fact that they're rebellious, not just once but multiple times, God loves them. A lot of the stories that you read this past week, they're going to show up. So if you didn't read all these chapters, go back and read them, because you're going to want to know these stories. They're going to show up again all over your Bible. They're not just like, oh, that's interesting, I got the point, we should listen to God and move on. No, these stories have a very basic function in the rest of Scripture, beyond just the truth of them. The stories crop up again and again. You're going to want to know them. Now, in case you didn't read the chapters, Numbers 33 is worth the price of admission all on its own. And you're going to look at that and think, I'm crazy, but trust me, you should work on Numbers 33 a while. Here's the thing. God's going to lead us faithfully even when we don't deserve it. And that's all the more so true in Jesus Christ. And God is still looking for you and me to stand between the living and the dead. And for all the mistakes that I might make, or that you might make, or that we might make, or that they might make, God is seeking to save, seeking to deliver, and seeking to prove His great love. It's called the Book of Numbers because of the first census, but you probably noticed the second census in Numbers 26, because by the time they get to the second census, this is the next generation. The first generation is all dead. That's what you're being told there. So we're numbering it again. So in Numbers 26, you've gone 40 years. And although the first generation didn't make it except for two guys, all of the second generation gets to go in, despite the fact that they're not much better. At the end of the day, if I can encourage you to understand that God wants you to listen, that He wants you to love Him and respect Him, but on the days when you don't, take the opportunity He's giving you to change. And you'll do that quicker if you listen like the donkey instead of complaining like the children of Israel. And that's the encouragement that we should get from this text. Because God still loves us. And He still wants what's best for us. And He's still offering us a clear path. All He wants us to do is take the next step with Him. What's your next step? Are you being asked to stand between the living and the dead, or are you in danger of being cut off? You're one or the other. If you have a need, why don't you come as together we stand and sing.